This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, November 19th, 2024. It's a beautiful day, to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, on demand by podcast, through our social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day right here. Greg Bach already shaking his head to today's question. Is it, in fact, a beautiful day?
That's a big fat no. It's gross and cold and rainy outside. I was supposed to walk my dog with a friend later today. That's probably not going to happen.
Is that as much as the song as you've written? Okay.
Hey, man.
I can't wait for the next verse. I went walking anyway. The rain was going sideways.
Canceled my plan, stayed home, and got drunk, because I'm just so fun. Burp, burp. There you go. There's the whole song.
Love it. Love it. All right. We can lay some music down on it now. It's just going to be ugly today. Temperatures right now are 25 degrees or more warmer than this time yesterday. Temperatures were in the mid-20s. Now they're in the 50s, but they're going to drop all day. Rainy, windy, and then starting tomorrow, parts of Wisconsin have snow chances, snow showers at times over the next few days. So the real question today is, are you prepared for this? Have you got the kids prepared for, you know, rain today, but much colder by the time they come home after school? And then are they ready to deal with snow showers, possibly? And how about you? Are you prepared? And I can say that from experience, being in Idaho last week, that when they got, maybe a quarter inch of snow or so overnight, and using my daughter's car, she did not have the snow brush in there that was ready. I found that you could use a leftover plastic grocery bag and put your hand in there and kind of move the snow away. No substitute for the proper safety equipment, people. Get those snow brushes and scrapers in your car. It's that time already.
Mine never leaves. I just keep it in there all year. It's just in the back. Just stays there just because.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't take up that much more space. Nope. So this would be the time to do that. Temperatures at the bus stop look like this. It's 56 in Lake Wissota, 50 in Hayward, 53 in Wausau, 55 in La Crosse. Amory's at 54, 57 in Rapids, 54 in Green Bay, 58 in Madison. Waukesha's at 54, and it's at 56 at Radio Park in Racine, where Greg is there getting set to take your calls as well at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Also, if you're watching the video version of this show on Facebook or YouTube, you can post a question or some feedback in the comment section, and we might show it up on screen here. You can, of course, also text your questions or comments to us. Same number, 855-75-CIVIC. Text it, call it, or use the Civic Media app and reach out to us that way as well. Coming up on the program, we're going to talk in just a few minutes here about the latest nomination for President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet. It's been a unique cabinet up until this point and continues to be so with some Wisconsin flavor. We'll talk about the potential appointment from a former congressman up north to the cabinet. In our second hour, we're going to talk about Donald Trump's ongoing plans to do things that would decimate Wisconsin agriculture. We've talked at length about the tariffs and the damage that they would do to farm trade and farm markets. Recall that last time Trump was in office, we had to drive up the debt by billions of dollars to send checks to farmers to make up for the loss of markets because of the trade war that accomplished nothing. Now we're going to talk about the mass deportations. Again, if prices were a consideration for voters when it came to, you know, who would do a better job in office. I mean, Donald Trump said he was going to get prices down, but what are mass deportations going to do to food prices? There is nothing in the American food supply chain that will go untouched by even the threat of mass deportations, and what that will do to the workforce in America's food supply and what it will do to prices as well. Hans Breitenmoser is a dairy farmer up in Lincoln County. He joins us every other Tuesday or so to talk about the rural economy and farm matters. He was featured in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article the other day about the effect of mass deportations, and he will be visiting with us around 7:30 or so this morning. And we'll talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau about what's on his program coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. In the Up North News Daily newsletter, which you can sign up for at our website, upnorthnewswi.com, we have in November, and I don't know if I think I mentioned this at the top of the month as part of our daily history lesson, that this is Guinness Book of World Records Month. And so throughout November, Christina Laurie has been putting some tidbits in the newsletter about a variety of world records that were set in the Badger State. So today, Mr. Bach, the fastest marathon for somebody carrying a 100-pound pack. Because, yeah, that's a record. And, yeah, somebody actually set it. Why, you might add? And, Mr. Bach, there's only one good answer, I can imagine. And it has nothing to do with feats of strength. I mean, if you can carry a 100-pound pack, period, much less run 26 miles, you're fit. Congratulations.
Yep.
I'm not doing it. If you're doing it to raise money, as this Green Bay College student did 6 years ago, and you can do a marathon with a 100-pound pack in 6 hours and 28 minutes, well, you can probably raise a lot of money to support veterans, and this young man did, so you can read about that in the newsletter. I already have a backache from a day of flying. I always get that after a travel day.
Yeah.
The thought of a 100-pound pack and taking two steps, much less running a marathon, is anathema to me.
That's where I just whip out my favorite line, which is, who do I make the check out to?
Yes. You say you're doing that?
Yeah.
Yes, by all means.
Great. Grand.
Let me help you support that. Also, year-round camping. Again, not necessarily my cup of tea. Might be yours. The newsletter includes the 10 best Wisconsin campgrounds for year-round camping. Let's talk about the Wisconsin Badger football team, because you can hear their games on Civic Media. They will head west to continue conference play against Nebraska this Saturday, searching for their sixth win to become bowl eligible. You can hear the Badger pregame starting at 12:30 Saturday on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WLAK in Amory, or the Civic Media app. So get that thing downloaded and listen to Badger football there. There's also Badger men's basketball coming up this Friday. Let's see, I want to get it just right here, because they are on the road. First off, the Badger men's basketball team won last night at home over Texas Rio Grande Valley. But Texas RGV did not go quietly. The Badger men won 87-84. So the Badgers are now 5-0 on the season. The first time the Badger men have opened 5-0 in 6 years. But the Badgers will next travel to the Greenbrier Resort in West Virginia for the Greenbrier tip-off. Wisconsin's first game will be against the University of Central Florida on Friday at 4 p.m. The pregame is at 3 p.m. on Civic Media stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine Kenosha, and Richland Center. So that is the latest on how you can hear Badger sports through the Civic Media app and all across the Civic Media radio network. Well, while we're chatting on sports at 6:15 here, let's mention that the Milwaukee Bucks have now won three of their last four. Damian Lillard hit a layup with 4 seconds left to give the Bucks a victory over Houston, 101-100. It snapped the Rockets' 5-game winning streak. Dame Lillard had 18 points after missing the previous 3 games while in the concussion protocol. I said the Bucks have won 3 of their last 4, but they are still 5-9 on the season, 12th in the Eastern Conference. But again, the season is still quite young. The Bucks continue a homestand tomorrow against the Chicago Bulls. On Friday, they have an NBA Cup game against the Indiana Pacers. And then on Saturday, they play against the Charlotte Hornets. So there's a little look at sports here at 6:16. It is worth noting that the new cabinet is okay. Let's go over who's in the cabinet first from former President Donald Trump, shall we? You've got Matt Gaetz, whose ethics report we're still waiting on, which for Attorney General, a guy who has been accused for years of sex trafficking and other sexual improprieties with women. But the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is saying, I would strongly recommend that this Ethics Committee report not be released, which seems a little odd. Hunter Biden, cough, Hunter. But Matt Gaetz apparently is, you know, we don't want to know the ethics report on him. Okay, no. So we got him for Attorney General, right?
Yep.
We got Pete Hegseth, Fox News host for Secretary of Defense, who it was reported last night. Two different women accuse him of paying him off after having sexual relations with him while he was serving in Congress. This wasn't some long ago thing. You've got Robert Kennedy Jr. For Department of Health Services. You've got Lee Zeldin at the EPA, who never met a forest. He didn't want to bulldoze. Doug Burgum for Interior, the governor of North Dakota, who's all about that drill, baby, drill. You have Russian stooge Tulsi Gabbard to be the director of national intelligence. You have Kristi Noem from South Dakota for Homeland Security, guard your dogs. And you've got Marco Rubio for Secretary of State. And Marco Rubio looks like the normal one in this rogues gallery that Donald Trump has started to assemble. Do you know the best part about all this before we get to the new one? Is we didn't even mention this yesterday. My favorite headline last week was InfoWars and Alex Jones.
Yeah.
That piece of human garbage. InfoWars, he has to get rid of it in bankruptcy, and The Onion bought it.
Yeah.
And if you're, again, up until a few years back, that kind of a cabinet you'd expect in The Onion.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's add a little Wisconsin flavor. By flavor, I mean another, you know, white guy.
Unseasoned.
Unseasoned flavor in the cabinet. That would be Sean Duffy for Transportation Secretary. We're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Going to hear a lot of Don Henley today as we celebrate the release of one of his albums on this day in history. More about Building the Perfect Beast coming up in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio on this Tuesday morning, November 19th. Nice to have you along. Let's see on Facebook from Ben. Give Duffy a six-pack of Duff. This actually does kind of feel like a pick, something out of The Simpsons. But there's also a very serious note that I want to call attention to in Donald Trump's announcement that he wants Sean Duffy to be his transportation secretary. But first, I am obliged and happy to offer this disclaimer. Before I say all the things that I'm going to say about Sean Duffy, for folks who don't know, I ran against Sean Duffy for Congress back in 2012. Can't believe that was 12 years ago already. You'll recall that Dave Obie announced his retirement in 2010. That was the year of the Tea Party and Sean Duffy, who was known as either the Ashland County District Attorney or more likely for his stint on MTV's The Real World, was the Republican candidate, and he won that year. And then I decided to run against him for the 2012 election. I made a huge tactical error in that I announced too early. I allowed some folks at the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, I let them talk me into announcing too early so you could get going on fundraising, forgetting that they hadn't redrawn the maps yet. And then the maps came out about 6-8 weeks later, and we could see what an uphill climb this was going to be, because they redrew the 7th in a way that took away Portage, it took away Stevens Point, a Democratic stronghold. They added St. Croix County, a Republican stronghold. They took away Chippewa Falls, that I can see out my window from here. Took that out of the 7th District. So while I would have quite likely won under the old maps, I lost under the new maps. And that's fine. I accepted that. But just keep that in mind, that I was the guy who ran against Sean Duffy 12 years ago. And my opinion of his service in office has not really changed since then. Sean Duffy does not have experience in transportation administration. Although, Greg, as people like to note, when they're wondering why would Donald Trump pick the former congressman for transportation secretary, he was in a couple of different seasons of MTV's Road Rules.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that might have been what swayed the president, is that he knows all about the rules of the road, apparently.
and they have that reality television bond, you know?
Yes.
And first of all, Pat, really quick question. In your 2012 race, did you actually concede the race?
Actually did, yes.
What a week, man. Uh-huh. What a week, man. Just...
Yeah, for folks that missed it, Eric Hovde finally conceded yesterday afternoon. Kind of.
Yeah.
Didn't call Senator Tammy Baldwin to concede or congratulate. Put out a 6-minute video. A 6-minute video. Come on, man. I mean, look, for as much as we picked on Tim Michaels a couple of years earlier, he had the class to concede.
Yeah,
and he had the class to say, you know what, the people have spoken. And Hovde, right until the end, was repeating false information about absentee ballot counting in the state. I mean, just, and I figured Hovde's doing all this, not conceding, talking about absentee ballots. All I can figure is he, too, is trying to get a job in the Trump administration in some way. I don't see any other reason why he would feel the need to do this.
If I am worth like $800 million, if I try to run, I'm done. I'm like, I'm going to go back and just lay in a pile of money now. I'm not going to try to work for Donald Trump. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is like, if you've ever seen an Eric Hovde video, you know that 1 minute is too long because it's straight to camera, staring down the barrel of that lens. There's no, 6 minutes is just too long, bro.
Nope, nobody's sitting through that. Again, happy trails to Eric Hovde. So to get back to Road Rules and Sean Duffy as Secretary of Transportation, now again, he served in Congress until the fall of 2019, when he abruptly resigned Congress, citing family concerns. And, you know, he does have a growing family with 9 children right now. But it wasn't too much longer after his resignation that he started showing up on Fox, quote unquote, news channel as a talking head. His wife is also a co-host over there on that channel. And he's been a co-host of a Fox business program, The Bottom Line. And so has been a regular presence on that channel, which... again, seems to be what qualifies you for office in Donald Trump's eyes to serve in the cabinet. So Duffy's last day as a Fox News employee was on Monday, a network spokesperson confirmed to CNN. And so he is done appearing on there now that he is a cabinet nominee. here's the thing. The statement from President-elect Trump, I mean, it praises Duffy. He's a tremendous and well-liked public servant, called him a respected voice and communicator in the Republican conference during his time in Congress. I would dispute that. But now here's the meat of the Trump statement. He will, and by the way, the spelling, the capitalization in here is crazy. He will prioritize excellence, competence, competitiveness, and beauty when rebuilding America's highways, tunnels, bridges, and airports. He will ensure our ports and dams serve our economy without compromising our national security. And here's the big part. And he will make our skies safe again by eliminating DEI for pilots and air traffic controllers. So Donald Trump took time in his statement appointing Sean Duffy to say that our skies are not safe because of women and minority pilots and air traffic controllers. And that Sean Duffy's going to come in and get rid of DEI because apparently the white guys doing these jobs are safer and more qualified. I'm sorry, that was a jaw dropper for me. Never mind that I ran against, you know, Sean Duffy. This is what Trump says in the statement about Duffy is amazing.
Yeah. It's just, I have no words. Because, right. Like, it's ridiculous enough as it is. Like, Sean Duffy, this reality TV star, Fox News guy, congressman from many years ago, he's going to take care of DEI in the sky. Wait, what?
What? Yeah. More about that after the Midwest Farm Report here on Up North News Radio.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Our regular Tuesday morning guests, Up North News social media manager Sharita Booker and our community editor Christina Lori will return next Tuesday as we continue going through post-election time off and, well, just the general post-election hangover, which has been exacerbated by some of the news since the election, especially of President-elect Donald Trump's appointments. And we were talking before the break about the latest one, former Northern Wisconsin Congressman Sean Duffy being nominated to be the next U.S. Transportation Secretary. What's his qualification on that? Well, he was on that Fox quote-unquote news channel, and that same channel has been saying a lot over the years about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and finding ways to trash and sully the notion that maybe we should be embracing the diversity of this country and maybe need to go after the racism that is not as obvious as other people would maybe like it to be, with, you know, white robes and cross burnings and, you know, whites only signs. We may be past that in this country, but if you think there aren't still subtle and really not so subtle shades of racism in American hiring and opportunity, well, then odds are you're a white person who's not really paying attention, and that it's easy to denigrate what you cannot see and what you do not experience in your life. But now you have out in the open the president-elect of the United States putting out statements like the one he did when appointing Sean Duffy as his nominee for transportation secretary, saying in part, he, Duffy, will make our skies safe again by eliminating DEI for pilots and air traffic controllers. And you're wondering, where is that coming from? Where is Donald Trump suddenly, I mean, seemingly out of left field, saying that our skies are not safe because there are women and minorities who are pilots and air traffic controllers solely because of racial or gender quotas rather than their qualifications? Where would he get that idea? Well, it doesn't take much sleuthing to find an opinion column on Fox News that gained a lot of traction earlier this year with the headline, "Here's how DEI in the control tower threatens airline safety." It's no exaggeration to say the aviation industry is courting death and destruction. And that's written by somebody named William Trackman. And he takes a lot of words to tell you that he thinks diversity, equity, and inclusion are bad in the aviation industry. That maybe, he writes, diversity, properly understood, can make us stronger. In some situation, it pays dividends to have people with different backgrounds, experiences, and philosophical viewpoints around the table. Hey, dude, stop right there. I mean, you just leave it at that. Yes, diversity properly understood can make us as individuals and a society stronger. Leave it at that. But he has to go on and say, or at least imply, that the airlines are not as safe. He talks about doors blowing off and near misses in the air and on the tarmac and unruly passengers that are affecting the safe and effective operation of airplanes. Nowhere does he point to a single example of how these episodes at any point are tied to somebody, a pilot, a co-pilot, an air traffic controller, a flight attendant, somebody who is a person of color or woman or whatever other group is bothering this person, William Trackman. And he goes on to talk about basically the in so many words, discrimination against white people, and that's why he's part of a lawsuit. Well, wait a minute. What do you mean he's part of a lawsuit? Well, down at the bottom, it says William Trackman is the general counsel of the Mountain States Legal Foundation. Oh, he's bringing a suit on behalf of white guys against the federal government for their DEI program. William Trackman previously served as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights in the Department of Education under President Trump. So in the first Trump administration, he was Deputy Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights in the Department of Education. Greg, that pretty well says it all when you look at the breakdown of the workforce. Does he have a point?
Oh, I mean, the DEI in the airline industry, Pat, is just running rampant. Let me tell you, what percentage of pilots do you think are black? Is it 40%, 50%, 120%? How many percentages?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it clearly must be, if they're implying the skies are unsafe, and
yes,
so many people of color were hired simply because of their skin color, it must be a really high percentage, yes?
Well, when you take black, Asian, Latino, or Hispanic all together, you get somewhere about 10%. And when you break that down, it's less than 4% black, 1.5% Asian, 6.1% Latino or Hispanic, and 92.4% white.
92.5% white. I think the call is coming from inside the cockpit, yeah, buddy. You put a note here that said women account for 4 to 6% of airline pilots. Women are still only 5% of airline pilots and 10% of all pilots. And yet, to this lawyer from this far right legal group, that's where the problem is.
I mean, it's running rampant, Pat.
Yes,
it's running rampant.
If we could just so it gets back to my larger point of, the folks who are against diversity, equity, and inclusion, and who are so quick to claim that there is no institutional racism. There is no subtle discrimination against people of color or against women still in this country. And I would only ask you to do one thing. Take a look at how Donald Trump, rich white guy, failed businessman, disaster as president, fared against far better qualified women in 2016 and in 2024. And yeah, of course, every Trump voter is going to recoil in horror at the notion that they didn't vote against Kamala Harris or Hillary Clinton because they're women. No, there were these policy differences that explain it all. Explain it all? Really? 100%? Has nothing to do with the bro culture that we see out there? Give me a break. So, Sean Duffy, congratulations on what is the Republican equivalent of a DEI hire, in the sense that you truly are not qualified for this job, but you tick all the boxes. White guy, conservative, who wants to get rid of opportunities for people of color and women to overcome generations of subtle and institutional racism. Alicia noting on YouTube, oh, it's not subtle. It's extremely obvious. And you're right. It is. And by the way, for David commenting on Facebook, we should rename the site Up North Hatred comes to mind. All that spewed here is negativity. No, David. No.
Okay, you, David.
You are confusing, actually exposing things like racism, misogyny, and hate for hate. And I'm so tired of hearing, I've been hearing this for the longest time now, that exposing racism is racist.
Yeah.
You know, it's along with those lines.
Pat, I don't know this, but don't know if you know this, but you're the one who is, in fact, the racist. Therefore, you are the problem, my friend. Yes. I like my pilots white and qualified. Man.
Yes. Alicia notes, you know, that we're going in transportation from Pete Buttigieg to Sean Duffy. Ugh. And, you know, Sean Duffy, again, one of his qualifications was being a frequent critic of Pete Buttigieg, who has brought record investment and improvements to American transportation. And like so many other things, wait till you see what happens next in the area of backtracking. Let's change gears. At 6:44, the Wisconsin Supreme Court on Monday discussed a case affecting whether Wisconsin's top elections official can remain in her post even though her term has expired. We, of course, are talking about Megan Wolf, who is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Wolf is holding her position validly as a holdover, and the Wisconsin Elections Commission is under no obligation to appoint someone else while she stays in the office, according to Charlotte Gibson, an assistant attorney general representing the Election Commission. She says the state Supreme Court should uphold a lower court ruling in Megan Wolf's favor, which would allow her to remain in her position. When Wolf was up for reappointment last year, all six members of the Wisconsin Elections Commission voiced support for her, the three Republicans and the three Democrats. The three Republicans voted to reappoint her. The three Democrats abstained, meaning that there was not a majority of votes in favor of reappointing her. And you may ask, well, wait, why did Democrats do that? Why would they not vote to reappoint her? Because then that Elections Commission reappointment would go before the Wisconsin State Senate, controlled by Republicans who continue sitting on something like 100 nominations from Governor Tony Evers. And think of all the cabinet officers and other department heads that they have refused to confirm, essentially fired for no cause whatsoever, just out of political spite. And so you see why the Democrats on the Elections Commission said, no, we're not going to forward this nomination. Yes, her term has expired, but she can continue to serve because some of Scott Walker's appointees set the precedent. And that's where Liberal Justice Janet Kurofsky came in yesterday, saying to the Republicans, you're basically trying to thread a needle here that has no eye, noting that these same Republicans allowed Fred Prehn to stay on the state natural resources board far past the end of his term. Kurofsky said, well, this is a case of careful what you wish for, isn't it? It seems to me this has little to do with what the law actually says and far more to do with who is in these positions. Love Justice Kurofsky and all of them. These four women have done as much as anybody else to try to end over a decade of right-wing dominance that has so often turned the law on its head and certainly turned Wisconsin values on their head. And now you have everything from, well, the up-and-coming abortion ban to the new maps to drop boxes and now to holdovers who don't have Senate confirmation. You have these justices essentially calling them out and saying, we're not playing this game anymore. Back when the conservative-controlled Supreme Court allowed Fred Prehn to stay in that position, liberal Justice Rebecca Dallet said that it had the absurd effect of allowing Prehn to remain in office indefinitely. And there are still Scott Walker holdovers sitting in positions to this day who don't have the honor to do the right thing and step down when their term has expired. They would rather stand in the way of the voters, the will of the voters who said, we don't want Scott Walker anymore. We want Tony Evers. And not just Tony Evers, but the people that Tony Evers will appoint. Now, a Republican-controlled Senate can continue to play games and sit on these nominations. They can show their lack of honor as well. But the notion that some of these appointees would just play along is, you know, it's just not right. But thankfully, folks like Megan Wolf are saying, well, look, if this is the new game, if these are the new rules, then I like my job. I don't want you playing games with my livelihood or with Wisconsin elections. So I'm going to stay right here. And this state Supreme Court sure indicated yesterday that's exactly how it's going to be as long as Republicans keep playing games with political nominations. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything, but lay off of my blue suede shoe.
Can I be honest for just a moment here?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
I've never seen a pair of blue suede shoes.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Okay, what did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to say you prefer the Carl Perkins version better.
Oh, no, I like them both. I like Carl Perkins and Elvis. This is Carl Perkins, who recorded Blue Suede Shoes at Sun Studio in Memphis on this day in 1955.
Wow.
69 years ago. The Carl Perkins original version was on the charts for 16 weeks. It peaked at number 2 and then was covered by others, most notably Elvis A. Ron Presley. But I still have never, just once, want to see somebody, you know, going, yeah, I saw these. They're blue suede shoes. I had to get them. I couldn't resist. So apparently fashions from another era,
yeah,
shall we say. Okay. Let's see. We've talked about Don Henley's Building the Perfect Beast a couple of times already. That's because his second solo album was released on this day in 1984. Folks will recall that the Eagles had a rather abrupt breakup in 1980. Don Henley's first solo album, I Can't Stand Still, came out in 1982. Building the Perfect Beast came out in 1984. And, of course, had the Boys of Summer here, the big hit.
Yeah.
Along with All She Wants to Do Is Dance, Not Enough Love in the World, Sunset Grill. I mean, it was the album for 1984-85.
It's weird when you listen to it because you're like, this is 4 years removed from the Eagles.
Yeah.
And you're like, and like you said, there was a tumultuous breakup. And they said famously, they'll reunite when hell freezes over. And only 10 years later, they will reunite. And for the next 30 years beyond that, we'll tour together.
Yes. They were just on a 14-year break, yep. I guess is what it was, before the Hell Freezes Over tour. Yeah, the note here, I don't have the writer to give credit to, but said that Building the Perfect Beast is generally regarded as the culmination of the smoother, more adult-oriented sound of Henley's solo work. Henley's solo work is what everything I said yesterday about Billy Joel and how much I admire his lyrical writing.
Yeah.
Same goes with Don Henley, without a doubt.
And I think I mentioned that yesterday, too, is like, because we played Steely Dan as well,
yes.
That there's that snarky, sarcastic tone to their lyrics. Mm. Billy Joel has it. Yep. Don Henley has it. Steely Dan has it. I love that, like, really great melodies, but then just like, you know, not like, I love you so much, you're the greatest. No, it's like, it's snarky. But it's
also, you know, I'll push you around if I want to. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's got an edge, but without crossing the line into being a jerk.
Yeah.
You know? And so anyway, this album would be followed a couple of years later by The End of the Innocence, many more singles on there. Which, again, is why you see that we are definitely Don Henley fans over here. That was 1984. And then 4 years later, in 1988, Bon Jovi started a two-week run at number one with the lead single from the band's album, New Jersey. This was the single that peaked this day in 1988. I actually had to do a double take putting this together because, again, the Don Henley song sounds more recent. You know, it sounds more contemporary,
yes.
But it's actually 4 years prior to this Bon Jovi hit, which was, by the way, Bon Jovi's third number one single to date.
It's also going to be Robert Kennedy Jr.'s walk-up music.
It works. That really works. Abraham Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address on this day in 1863 at the dedication ceremony for the military cemetery on that hallowed ground in Pennsylvania. Happy birthday to former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson. He is 83 years old today. Allison Janney, actress, C.J. Craig, and so many other great roles. She is 65 today. Meg Ryan is 63 years old today. Jodie Foster is 62. Actor Adam Driver is 41. On this day in 1990, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences stripped the 1989 Best New Artist Grammy from Milli Vanilli because apparently they weren't the singers on this hit. And
this is true. It's true.
It's true. It's no.
It's true.
It's true. We didn't sing this. No. Rob Pilatus and Fabrice Morvan were not the actual singers. It was the first time a Grammy had ever been revoked this day in 1999.
Wow.
Yeah. On this day in 2002, Eminem went number one for the first time with this song from his movie 8 Mile. I should have had you cut it right there and go, oh, that's all we can play. But turns out, I think this is the clean version. 2 years after this, this day in 2004, was Malice at the Palace, the worst brawl in NBA history. Remember they had all the players that went up in the stands and started having fights with...
Was that Ron Artest?
Yes.
Yes, yep. I remember that. I was the first... Yeah, yep, I remember that very well.
I remember that going, where are we going as a world? You know, when you have that. And thankfully, nothing like that has been, you know, happened again on that scale. This is International Journalists Day. This is National Entrepreneurs Day. It's also National Women Entrepreneurs Day. This is World Toilet Day, but it's not really about toilets. It was set up by the United Nations to call attention to the importance of sanitation mm-hmm. and wastewater and yes. stormwater. And finally, it is Play Monopoly Day. Unless you want peace and harmony in your household, no, in which case you yeah. should not play Monopoly because it can cause problems. Trust me.
As one comedian once put it, a Monopoly victory is dark.
so dark. I must crush you. We'll have much more in the second hour of Up North News ahead here, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.